Yeah, so it's nice to be home. I love Iowa, but there's a little more to do and see here in Chicago.
Course.
Yeah. Are you in New York right now?
Yeah, I'm in Brooklyn.
Okay, nice.
I'm here. I toured a lot this year, but I'm here for through the holidays and into January, so it feels pretty nice. Nice to be home for a bit.
That is really nice. And Minnesota is kind of where you're from, right?
Yeah,
What?
from I don't have any family there anymore though, so I really only go for the shows now, but my family is dispersed. But yeah, that's definitely where I grew up.
Does that mean you're like a Twins fan, a Yankees fan, a Mets fan?
Twins,
What are Twins fan?
always Twins, always Minnesota sports, except hockey, because I grew up in Minnesota North Stars fan and they're no longer, so I became a New York Rangers fan in hockey, but Vikings, Twins, Timberwolves, and lately big Timberwolves.
Nice. You guys had a great game, the Vikings. Heck yeah.
Vikings had a great game last night. Yeah,
That was awesome.
I like this. I really, I think we have to stick with this quarterback and see what happens. He's
Yeah.
it's there's growing pains, but I think it's worth it.
It's his first, he's from, I'm in the suburbs. He's from the suburb right next to me. He's from
Really?
LaGrange, Illinois. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I guess I didn't know where he was from. I know he played at Michigan, but that's crazy. Yeah, he looks pretty good. I mean, like if you look historically, the great quarterbacks have a rough first year. So I think you got to give it
Yeah.
to him.
Hey, it's no shade to your Vikings. You're not a fully fleshed out team yet either. It's not like, you're one missing piece away. Like everyone's got the growing pains.
Absolutely. That's why I don't think like trading for a veteran, seems like it's not like it's yeah, it's not like we're a missing piece. We have a terrible offensive line. So, whoever we get is gonna be running for their lives.
Yeah. Are you a big baseball guy?
Yeah, Twins. I'm a huge baseball is probably my favorite.
Okay, that was a rough year for the Twins. I didn't expect, like, I expected you guys to be good this year. I'm a White Sox fan, so, I hate to admit that you guys were looking good, but,
My
like, who would have
God, I
thought?
don't know. I thought we were, I didn't think we were going to be good. I thought we were
Really?
going to lose 90 games, and we did. It's not, we have ownership problems. So until those get resolved, we'll be pretty,
Yeah.
I think we'll be pretty mediocre to lousy.
You
I
should.
don't, I don't like, I don't think they'll do anything. They're holding on to their good players, but I don't know what that means. Like, I don't think there's a plan beyond that. They're in
Yeah.
their third generation of wealth, meaning, it's the grandson of the guy who like ran it well. So
Yeah.
like that never bodes well
No, it
historically.
doesn't. Do you think selling the team is the answer?
Yeah. I think getting a more robust owner. The Timberwolves got bought by A-Rod and his partner.
Okay.
And someone just outside coming in and interjecting some they were talking about Sheba, who I think is a ended up increasing his ownership in the White
He
Sox.
did, yeah.
Yeah, but he was talking about getting out of the White Sox, buying the Twins. That would have been good for us too.
Yeah. I think he's got his hands on the Phoenix Suns too.
Phoenix Suns, yeah.
They bought Kevin Durant for, $300 million or whatever that was for 4 years.
Yeah.
So,
I think you want someone whose ego is tied into it,
yeah. Do you think that there's going to be a lockout? I mean, Dodgers won the World Series back to back. They give Ohtani more money than God's ever seen. Do you think there's going to be some sort of lockout within the next few years?
I think unfortunately we're looking at it. I'm not an expert on that, but that's everything I've been reading makes it feel like it,
I'm
I'm
getting
just kind of
scared.
it's not good because it just bad for the sport every time.
Yeah. You mentioned a busy year, torn a whole bunch. Now, in full honesty, I was unaware of the Hold Steady and yourself up until fairly recently. My buddy had a Lift or Puller song on a playlist, and then I caught you at Riot Fest, and I went, this sound, it sounds so familiar, the voice. And I did some research and, kind of fell down this rabbit hole and fell in love with you
Cool,
guys.
cool, cool.
So I'm new to the Craig Finn and, in the extended universe fandom. And you had put out a great record this year, Always Been. How was that process for you?
Well, it was really that's a record I'm really proud of. So I was really excited for it to go out, and it was really well received. Now that the sort of top 10, top 25, top 100 lists of the year are coming in, there's
Yeah.
been some nice placements there. It was a record that I made it with Adam Grandisile, who plays in the War on Drugs, and we have been friends a long time. 2009, we met, and it was just fun to have a reason to spend time with him. And you talk about records. I mean, I've made a lot of records in my career now, and this one was particularly easy to make. And I find that when they're easy, they're oftentimes better. Just because I just don't remember any struggle with this record. I remember, driving to the studio and being excited to be there. We made it in California, which was fun, and it was. I felt like I had a vision for it the whole time, and it was sort of a real, it was a joy to make. And then because Adam brought in a lot of his War on Drugs bandmates to play on it, who most of them I also know, but they have their own band, so touring was probably, touring with that lineup was not really in the cards. But we did do one big show in New York
The
on
Bowery, right?
November 30th. Yeah. And that was a year highlight, just because it was so fun to get everyone together. There were so many moving parts. I think by the end of the show, there were 11 people on stage. It all came together, and it came together quickly, and it was just a beautiful night. And sort of look back that as that as a real highlight of the year, in a year with a lot of highlights.
You mentioned a lot of people on stage. Do you remember like the longest show you ever played?
The longest show I ever played. There was a time in the Hold Steady back in Separation Sunday touring, when I had this crazy idea that we should play every song we know. And I don't know, I think I was going through a real populist phase, but I had this idea that it was an ill-conceived idea, but that we should play every song, and then people could leave whenever they wanted,
Yeah,
like
just come and go.
if you just get you get your when you decide you've gotten your money's worth. And that only lasted a few shows, but I remember one particular in Fargo where we were playing like for 3+ hours. And I think what I learned is I think people want to be part of the arc, meaning like I don't think people feel good when they have to like leave when you're still playing. And I also think that I hadn't really considered how much touring we were about to do and what that does to someone's voice. So I think I was about to learn that, playing a reasonable amount is probably a better idea, night to night, if you're going to do 100, 200 days of touring in a year.
Busier with the whole state and everything. You're hitting up Europe in February, I believe. Your music is I think uniquely talks about the American experience a lot in a lot of different aspects, the good, the bad, the ugly. Do you notice a difference in reception from a European crowd versus an American crowd in your music?
I mean, it's kind of twofold. One is that the Hold Steady started going over to Europe in 2007, and we found a really receptive audience, but it especially in countries like England and Ireland, where English is the first language. There's a probably a decent drop off after those, for obvious reasons. There's a lot of words in our songs, and I think when people have to translate it, it gets a little harder. But even places where English is very strong have been good, like Holland and Scandinavia. But in the UK, we've played some of our biggest shows ever, and I think. I just meet people in the UK, like as a rock and roll fan, that is really interested in the American experience and kind of almost, in some cases, feels like they know more about it than I do. I mean, I meet people that are like going on their honeymoon to Mississippi, and I'm like, that's crazy. But they're steeped in all this American mythology that they're very interested in. And I think that the history of rock and roll has kind of been that, with the Beatles looking at Little Richard, and then American bands looking at the Beatles, and then maybe the English bands looking at the next wave of American bands. And so there is this kind of conversation back and forth that's been part of rock and roll history. But yeah, I mean, it's been an important part of my career, with the band and with the solo work. And yeah, so I'm going over. I actually have three different trips to
Wow.
Europe for 2026. So, and that's what I know so far. So yeah, it's spending quite a bit of time over there.
Yeah. Now with this record, always been kind of, this picture of America almost, and you really hone in on a lot of people's vulnerabilities and kind of, their darkest moments. I think, you mentioned, at different characters. How do you decide which ones to kind of hone in on? There's mentions of, eating disorders and, like, just mental anguish and kind of depression a lot in these songs. Do you have like specific things that you're pulling on, specific things that make you say, I want to write a song about this?
I mean, I think that for a long time in the earlier Hold Steady, I was looking a lot at like I was kind of making these fantastical characters. And at some point, as I got older, I got more interested in kind of just people who were trying to do the right thing, but not able to for whatever reason, or not able to keep their head above water. And I think, more and more I'm interested in mental health and sort of the way that for lack of a better word, capitalism, but maybe just sort of modern life, or the way technology's evolved kind of can be stacked against a normal person, and what their struggles are, and how mental health, finances, etc., play into all that.
A big theme in a lot of music is religion and Catholicism, and I was raised Irish Catholic, and it's cool to see music kind of reflect that upbringing in a way. When you bring in religion into your music, do you find yourself putting yourself back in the mindset of a kid who's being dragged to church on Sunday morning, or a more adult and cognitive relationship with it?
Well, I think it's the latter. I mean, I certainly was the kid being dragged to church, but I've always been interested. Like I sort of, even though I consider myself kind of a lapsed Catholic, I still go to mass. Not every Sunday, but I go because I like the experience. I think there's a magic and a mysticism in it all that's still very attractive, especially in a modern world, especially in a scientific world, and especially in a world that values technology so much. To kind of, consider this, some of the most basic elements of, old, very ancient stories and morality, in that context. And I think that, I think there is this sense of, if you're raised Catholic, if you're raised in any church, really, a lingering sense of that when you get to big moments in your life.
Yeah, and I kind of see those big moments. Obviously the main character in Always Been, tries to become a preacher even though his heart's not in it or anything like that. When you're writing these characters, is there any of you in it, or is it fully, some other character?
There's always, I mean, John Gregory Dunn said the first character in every novel is the author, and I believe that. I mean, I think, like, even, and I do a podcast called That's How I Remember It. We talk about this a lot in storytelling, because I can write a story about a bank robbery, which I've never done. I've never robbed a bank, but if I put the bank that I'm robbing, the one that's just down here, I know how to tell the story a little better, because I know, what the coffee shop that's next to it, and the dry cleaner that's on the other side, and all these details that are from real. And I think, like, when you tell a fictitious story but put in details from your real life, you can approach more of an honest telling, even if you're making up, a big part of it. So I think that that's kind of how it works in my own work.
Do you find that, you've been writing for a long time, and there was a line in Crumbs that made me kind of, that's kind of stood out to me, where you're talking, the main character is talking about his niece and how she's mostly on her phone these days. You know, that wouldn't have been a line 20 years ago. So is there a different approach you have to take to writing like these younger characters nowadays?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's, I think, yeah, I think that it's part of like what has been interesting to me is having the characters age with me, you know, and obviously in 20 years ago, I wouldn't probably not have put even phone or not that character in a song because I wouldn't have been around that character, you know, a daughter, a young teenage daughter that the parents, you know, that is sort of at a distance from her parents. But now that is something, you know, I don't have my kids of my own, but I certainly see it when I visit my friends. And I think, yeah, I think that's part of the changing perspective of being an artist. I mean, I think that like at some point, you know, like when you're growing up, maybe you have your parents mark your height against a wall or a door or something, you know, and see how you grow. I think different projects as an artist, you know, whether it's a new album, a new book, whatever, change show a changing perspective. And you know, if even if you aren't getting taller physically, emotionally, you're growing, and each project kind of reflects a changing perspective.
Yeah. These kind of narrative stories, I think, are a bit of a dying art form. You know, you don't see too many of these kind of out in the world. What would be any advice you would have to a younger artist who are also trying to, you know, weave these stories together?
I mean, I think that any artist, my advice is just persistence and to do it. I mean, I think that like when I look back at my own career, there were a lot of times that I didn't think I was making a difference. I mean, for instance, I played shows, you know, I've met people, you know, once I had this band lift, I had that, you know, I had that band Lift Your Pillar, and that, you know, I met people once I started the whole steady and things started going pretty well. And people be like, oh yeah, I've been a fan of Lift Your Pillar since I saw you guys in Cleveland. And I'd be like, there were two people at that show. And they're like, yeah, I was one of them. And I'm like, oh, you should have said hello. But you know, you can feel like you're not connecting. And that guy is going on saying like, I'm a huge fan now, and pops back up, and you realize you were getting through. And I think part of it is just doing it and creating a practice where you are working daily. You know, working daily and working on whatever it is, you know, whatever it is you're doing.
When you're touring, do you find it difficult to like write on the road too? Like, if you're touring, is it exclusively touring, or are you also jotting stuff down?
It's hard. It's harder to come up with something organized, but you can still get ideas down. And you know, but I mean, nowadays, like I think all artists, you know, I used to write notebooks, and now I've got a lot of phone notes. But you
Yeah.
know, if you get enough notes, I find travel really to be inspiring. But I can't maybe necessarily put it in a good, you know, during tour into like a well organized. My ideas aren't that well organized, but I can get a lot of notes down that I can figure stuff out later.
Yeah. For these characters, for Always Been, were these all characters written exactly for this record? Or were they kind of, you know, were there songs that you'd kind of taken from the past, or was it all, you know, Always Been?
Almost all of it's always been. I sort of said that there's like kind of like there's probably like 8 out of 11 songs that move this one story forward. And then you know, there's always these kind of like what I call bottle episodes. Shamrock would be one, and Luke and Leanna would be one, where and Fletcher's would be one, where they're kind of in the same world, but they aren't those exact same people. And I think of it a little bit like the movie Pulp Fiction, where there's kind of like different things happening also, you know.
Yeah, well, it's a great record. Do you have any top records of the year yourself?
You know, I really loved there's a couple records. I loved the band Friendship. They have a from Philadelphia, they have a record. Caveman Wakes Up that I loved. I liked the Wednesday record a lot. What's his name? McMurtry. James McMurtry. His record, Black Dog, and I forget what the title is. Those are three that come to mind that I've just loved. But I think I loved more than that. Like I like it's always hard when you're put on the spot, but those are records I
Yeah.
really connected with.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking the time with me. I
Hey,
really appreciate it.
thanks so much. Thanks for being interested. And thanks. It's great. Always great to have new people aboard. So I'm glad you saw us at Riot Fest.
Yeah.
What were you there to see, something else in particular, or just there for Riot Fest?
I was there for the Pogues personally on that Friday. I was like, I'm not sure if I'll ever see these guys again. And I was able to interview one of the members of the Pogues too, which was
Cool.
awesome. But yeah,
I met one of them at catering. And actually,
really.
James Walburn, who plays with him, he's not really an OG Pogue, but
Yeah.
I know I'm friendly with him, but I can't remember which guy I met at catering, but it was cool.
When you're at a festival, do you like stick around and watch the other bands?
Some, yeah. I mean, when I can, I used to like when we first started playing festivals, I would see like go in hard, and I would like probably to the detriment. I'd probably annoy people with catering and things like that, you know. Now I try to leave people alone, but I liked seeing the bands. Like I can't remember what I saw Weird Al at Riot Fest. I know that. That was fun. Camper Van Beethoven, Shudder to Think. I saw like some cool shit, you know.
Well, those two stages that you were at, just
They were
great. I mean,
amazing.
Sparks was right there.
Yeah,
Like, what a
right.
and
Right.
what a I Riot Fest, I cover a lot of festivals for this radio station, and there's nothing like that festival. I'm not sure if you can attest to it. You've played it a few times, but like there's such a wide variety.
It's a great one. It's a really good one. The festival that I would just, I mean, it's a sort of different musically, but Newport Folk Festival in Rhode Island is the, I think, the number one. I mean, it's the one I'll go to as a fan, you know, and the location, the music, the vibe is just like, and I think the cool thing about that one is, I mean, they've just made it into such a cool thing. They sell it out before they announce the artists. So, like it's you don't get like one artist fan huge art, you know, they'll add a huge artist, but their fan base won't take it over because the tickets are already sold, you know. So like I saw Lana Del Rey there, and it was very cool, but it was like a different audience than you'd normally see for her because, you know, people didn't, yeah. So I don't know. I thought it was great.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's the top of the list for me. It
Yeah.
looks you played that, was that 2024? You were there?
Yeah, 20, is that right? 24. No, I played 24. I sat in with the War on Drugs. Hold Steady played 23.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, I often end up there regardless of whether I'm playing. So,
Yeah, it's not too far away from New York.
oh no, that's great.